Today, I want to talk to you about my favorite subject, and it's not food. Come on. Some of y'all said chicken wings. No, it's the Holy Spirit. And I was preaching in D.C. just recently, and I was tired. I had pressed so hard. And I called Dawn up, and I said, babe, I want you to pray for me. I want a second wind. I want a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to blow over my life. And she prayed for me, man, and I stood in Washington, D.C. and preached under that power. And the Lord said, I want you to do a series called Second Wind. How many of you are ready for a second wind of the Holy Ghost to blow in your life? Now, we're coming from John 14:15. And I want you to understand something. We're going to teach you today. But Proverbs said, in all your getting, watch, get understanding. So we're going to understand the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. Come on now. And shall be in you. I want to hear from the people who believe that the Holy Spirit is not just with you, he's in you. Give him praise if you believe he's in you. So I'm going to really unpack today, who is the Holy Spirit and what is he to me? How many of you want to know the third person of the Trinity in a greater way? You want to? Slip up your hands, precious. We're going to learn today. Father, I thank you that you're going to give us understanding in all of our getting. Lord, we're thankful that we get salvation, we get peace, we get joy, we get provision, and we get healing. But today, I decree and declare that we're going to get understanding. Hallelujah. We're going to understand more about the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in this room. We give you praise. Somebody give the Lord the ovation of the morning. Come on, give him a shout. All right, sit right down. I believe one of the greatest ways that the enemy is empowered in the life of a believer is when we don't fully comprehend who the Holy Spirit is and the reality that he is present with us and he's powerfully working in our lives. We understand a lot about God. We understand a lot about Jesus. We understand that God has effectually and eternally revealed himself, y'all, in three persons. He's one God, eternally revealed in three persons. Our understanding is that we see these three distinct persons of God, and we see them since the beginning of creation. The Bible said in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, somebody say us, make man in our own image. How many of you know God wasn't schizophrenic when he said, let us make man in our own image? The word us is actually a name for God. It's the name Elohim. And Elohim is God's plural, most often translated three. So understand, when he was there at creation, he said, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make man in our own image. These are the manifestations of one God. These manifestations in one, to me, they're kind of like these three manifestations in one can be like water. Water can manifest as liquid, it can manifest as ice, and it can manifest as steam or vapor. But it's water either way. And all three of these are God. Now, I want you to understand something. We comprehend God the Father, and he's easy to comprehend. It's easy to grasp him as Abba. We understand him as Father. He's powerful, come on. He's supreme. He's in charge. He's protective. He's fatherly. So we get God the Father. But then there's Jesus. Jesus is the one we readily identify with Jesus. We love Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. He's our Savior. He took our sins away. He took our place at Calvary. He's our healer, our Redeemer, our Provider. He's our Messiah. He's our soon and coming King. When we need healing, we call on Jesus. At least 12 of us do. I said, when we need healing, we call on Jesus. When we need power, we call on Jesus. When we need salvation, we call on Jesus. We write songs about Jesus. He's fantastic, y'all. He's familiar. We know Jesus. We can identify with Jesus. In fact, to know Jesus is to love Jesus. We write music about Jesus. Courtney wrote a song, Thank You, Jesus. The old timers sing, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. So we're real familiar with Jesus. But listen, the most active and most present part of the Godhead in your life as it relates to us is the Holy Spirit. The most active part of your life, the most active part of the Godhead in your life is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He is with us. Yet most people are in the dark as it relates to him. He is present. He is powerful. He is available. He is passionate about you. And he is inside of you. But to most believers, he remains a mystery. He is the most mysterious part of the Godhead in the eyes of most believers. Often when you talk about the Holy Spirit, people either really get excited or they really get nervous. When you start talking about the Holy Spirit in certain settings, in some settings, people get excited. So if I'm talking about the Holy Spirit at Calvary, how do you feel about it? Okay, I wonder which side. How do y'all feel about the Holy Spirit? How do y'all feel about the Holy Spirit? How about up in the balcony, in the back? How do y'all feel about the Holy Spirit? Come on, you're in a place then where when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we get excited, but in a lot of situations and circumstances and atmospheres, people get nervous. I heard somebody say one time, you know, she received the Holy Spirit and got the fullness and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know what? She got weird. Let me tell you something. Don't blame the Holy Spirit when weird people act weird. They were weird long before they were even filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me set you free. The Holy Spirit thinks they're weird too. You say she got the Holy Ghost and she got weird. No, she was weird before she ever received the Holy Spirit. Weird people need to get delivered. Can I get a witness in this house? Do you know anybody weird? Don't point at them. So, since the Holy Spirit then is in us, the present part of God that's in me, I want to know as much as I can about him. I want to understand him. Since Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, come on, God is on the throne, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Come on, somebody. I want to know the one who's with me. So I'm going to unpack some things. If you're ready, somebody shout, I'm ready. The first thing I want to show you about the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a divine person. In many circles, the Holy Spirit is referred to as an it or a force. The Jehovah Witnesses say he's just an energy. Some say he's just a power. But this is not true. He is a person. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is more than just power. He is a person and he has power. Oh, y'all about to start feeling this thing. I said he's more than just power. He's a person and he has power. The Holy Spirit is not a person in the sense that he has a nose or feet or eyes or toenails, but in the sense that he knows, he feels. He's aware, he understands, he speaks, he moves, he lives, he's aware, he cares, and he's inside of you. I dare you to look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you don't have a better friend than the Holy Spirit. You don't have a better friend than the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 11, he is said to be God's wisdom, and wisdom cannot be contained by force. How can an impersonal force decide and reason and teach? In the New Testament, y'all, he's referred to by the masculine pronoun he, not it, not he, not she, That's another message. I saw somebody singing to She just last night, and they were saying, she's coming, she's moving. I don't know about y'all, I need a he. Can I get a witness in the house? I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit exhibits the caring nature that I believe was from the Godhead when God created woman. But understand, he is a person. And the Bible said in Romans 8:27, now he who searches the hearts, he, somebody say he. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession, not it, but he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He gets inside of you and he prays through you. And he makes intercession through you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all. This ain't on my notes, but I feel like preaching it anyway. When you pray everything you know to pray, when you've exhausted everything you know about the circumstance, everything you know about the situation, when you pray crazy prayers. Have you ever prayed any crazy prayers? You better thank God he didn't answer some of the prayers you prayed. What if you would have married that man? Come on, somebody. What if you would have gotten that in that relationship? No, when we pray, all we know to pray, the Bible said, he who is inside of you then prays through you. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, he prays the mind and the will of God. He said, let me get you out of the driver's seat. I'm omniscient, omnipresent, and I'm all-knowing. Let me get in the driver's seat. Let me pray with you and through you the mind and the will of God. I dare somebody who's filled with the Holy Ghost to give God praise for every good thing he prayed into your life and every bad thing he prayed out. Come on, y'all, give him a shout today. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person, and he has a personality. He can be grieved. He's sensitive. That's why the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. But I want you to comprehend this. The Holy Spirit isn't vague or barely there or impersonal or unthinking or detached from your life. He is a person, and he has a personality. Because he is a person, he's real. And that means you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'm declaring by the end of this series, you're not just going to know about the Holy Spirit, you're going to know him. So who wants to get more acquainted with the Holy Spirit, God inside of you? Give God praise if that's you. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. But the second thing you got to know is this. The Holy Spirit is fully God. He's not like a junior member of the Trinity. Come on, somebody. Well, you got Big Daddy the Father. Then you got the Son. And then you got the little Holy Spirit, kind of the dove, just flying around. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit that we have in our lives, he's powerful. He's supernatural. He's unstoppable. He releases power. He releases healing. He releases provision. He releases revival. He releases breakthrough. Hallelujah. He's co-equal with God, and he's every bit as much God as God himself. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent, omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient. That's omniscience. Omni means all. Science means knowing. So that means he already knows everything you've been trying to figure out, y'all. And he's omnipresent. That means he's in me, but he's also in Pastor Anderson. I hope. Is he? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's in me, but he's in you. He's here, but he's in Singapore, y'all. He's all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipotent. He's omniscient, omniscience, all-knowing. and he's everywhere all at once. And he's inside of you. And he prays through you, y'all. And he's praying stuff you don't know nothing about. He's praying against attacks you don't even know are coming. He's praying against things that would try to come against your children and your family. I dare you right now, if you're glad that that Holy Spirit is inside of you, why don't you just give him a little praise? So that means that the Holy Spirit is supernatural. How many of y'all believe that he's a supernatural God? All right, but watch this. Where is he at? He's in me. So if the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit is all that, and all that is in me, that means I am supernatural. That means I have the power to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That means I have the power to talk to devils and they gotta run. That means I have the power to do the supernatural. Now, let me tell you, it's time to discover who he is and who he is in us. And I'm gonna take the last part of this message, and I wanna be theological, but I also wanna be very practical. I want you to understand in practical terms who the Holy Spirit is. I just want to break it down in a way that you can understand it and I can understand it. So number three, we know he's God, number one. Number two, we know that he's a person. But number three, here it comes. He is my personal trainer. Y'all, in the spirit, he's my personal trainer. He's my personal trainer. Now, I want you to listen to Luke 4. This is just before Jesus steps into his miracle ministry. The Bible said in verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, sometimes we try to blame the devil. That devil got me in a wilderness. That devil got me in a fight. That devil's got me in a problem. No, sometimes the Spirit will lead you into the wilderness so he can show you what he's put inside of you, so he can manifest through you what he's put in you. So he said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 is a number of preparation, for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. So somebody say, the Holy Spirit is my personal trainer. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, the Holy Spirit is my personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all getting buff in the spirit. You don't even know it. Hallelujah. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit will guide you into places you don't want to go in order to train you for the places you always dream to go. I think you're getting there. Some of you are about to feel this thing and understand it. The Holy Spirit will take you into places and into seasons you don't want to go into in order to train you for the places you never dreamed that you could go. Hear me now. Your desert is not a desert of disaster. When you get in the desert, it's a desert of destiny. This is too much. How many of you ever been in a desert? Not only did Jesus go in a desert, he went in a desert with a devil in it. Have you ever felt like, my Lord, not only am I in a desert, I'm in a desert with a devil in it. But here's what you got to understand, precious. Destiny does not come into fruition until the Holy Spirit takes you through preparation. The Holy Spirit, as I said, led Jesus into a desert with a devil in it. What do you do when your desert has a devil in it? What do you do if you're moved by the Spirit into a season, y'all? There have been times in my life where I said, how did I get here? This didn't turn out like I thought it was going to turn out, but the Holy Spirit led me in that season because there were certain parts of me that had to be developed. There were certain parts of me that could not be revealed until I got in the desert. I wouldn't have known that I had power in the desert and power over the devil unless God took me on that journey. Y'all, if the devil had any sense, he would leave you alone. So, the enemy wishes I wouldn't tell you this. He doesn't want you to know it. But you need that dry place. You needed that desert season. You needed that battle with the devil. The Holy Spirit put you there. He allowed you to go there. It's quiet in this church. But you know, people don't talk much when they're under surgery. Come on, somebody. See, I thank God for every mountain. I thank God for every high place he took me. But when I look back, I wouldn't have known he was a healer if I didn't get sick. I wouldn't know he was a waymaker if I didn't lose my way. I wouldn't know that he was peace if I hadn't got in war. So I have to thank God, not just for the good times. I need somebody to thank him for the desert right now. It made you thirsty, didn't it? When your children lost their way, it made you want to pray. When you went through that dilemma, it made you stronger. So understand, he's my personal trainer. Some of y'all think, oh, the devil's trying to kill me. No, the Holy Spirit is just you, let him train you, getting you ready. Now, the next thing about the Holy Spirit, number four, he is my miracle seed. Now, Jesus began it all. He's the establishment of our faith. Jesus personifies everything we strive for. Even Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. Allow me to paraphrase the situation. When Jesus left heaven, there were conditions. He knew, I'll have to suffer, I'll have to be wounded, I'll be rejected, and I'll be betrayed. I'll be forsaken, I'll be humiliated. I'll die on the cross. But what I'm going to have to do now, in order to come to earth, I'm going to put on a physical body. I'm going to leave my omnipresence behind. I'm going to leave that part of me that can be everywhere all at once, and I'm going to be restricted by the flesh. But Jesus couldn't even arrive on the planet without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, in his life, y'all, he leaned into the Holy Spirit. He depended on the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. Even in leaving heaven. Now watch this. By nature, it takes a seed to impregnate a woman. That's how it still works. She can't have a baby. It's natural. It's common sense. Heaven was ready, and earth was in need of something miraculous to defy the natural. The earth needed a savior, a redeemer, a king, a lamb, an advocate, a way, a restorer, a provider. The earth needed heaven, and heaven was ready. And the Holy Spirit reminds us, heaven is ready to do the impossible in your life. Jesus then, 100% God, 100% man, came through the natural womb of a woman in a supernatural way. Watch this. The miracle is that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gets in the unworthy womb of a virgin. The seed provided didn't come from Joseph. The seed came from the Holy Spirit, y'all. Have you heard me talk about the blood before, why the blood has power? I could not have given my blood for you because my blood does not have power in it. My blood would not have been sufficient. My blood, because I'm connected to the sinful race of Adam, I'm not worthy to be your sacrifice. But 2,000 years ago, there was a virgin who conceived outside of the seed of man, y'all. I said before, if you want to know who my children's mom is, it's easy to know because she carried those babies. You knew she was the mother. But if you want to find out who the daddy is, the best way is to check the blood. And when you check the blood, you'll find out I gave them their DNA. Their deoxyribonucleic acid. Come on, somebody. I gave them their genetic fingerprints. And I want to tell you that 2,000 years ago, there was a Savior placed in the womb of a woman. And if you want to know who that baby's daddy is, you check the blood. And you find out that the blood in that baby was the blood that would buy your redemption and mine. Now watch. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine your daughter coming home? Hey, Dad, guess what happened at prayer meeting? Come on, somebody. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Next verse. But after he had considered this, an angel appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So watch this. The Holy Spirit was the seed that produced Jesus, and Jesus came into the earth, and the same seed that got in Mary is now in you. The same Holy Ghost, y'all ain't saying nothing, that got in Mary, got in you. Joseph didn't understand it. The world couldn't figure it out. Doctors thought it was impossible. The family was confused. But the same seed that put the supernatural in Mary has put the supernatural in you. I need somebody right now who believes that the supernatural is inside of you. Give the Lord praise right now. The deliverer was inside of Mary. The Savior was inside of Mary. The healer was inside of Mary. And I want to tell you something. That same Holy Ghost has put healing power in you. The same Holy Ghost has put power over demons and devils in you. I need somebody who believes that the Holy Ghost is inside of you with power, giving praise in the room. Come on. The seed is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. We must embrace the seed of heaven, the Holy Spirit, or we will always reap the fruit of the world. We've got to embrace the seed of heaven. So I want you to raise up your hands, and I want you to declare this. Say, because the Holy Spirit is in me. Come on, get radical. Say, because the Holy Spirit is in me, I will see the miraculous through me. Now somebody give God praise like you believe it's true. He is my miracle seed. But watch this. He is also, number five, my BFF. He's my BFF. Jesus said, but truly I say unto you, for it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I look back across my life, y'all, and I wouldn't have made it without my BFF. I would have left this church a long time ago without my BFF. Y'all don't want me to tell the truth. I would have left this church. I would have quit on the ministry. I would have given up, but my BFF was inside of me, hallelujah, and he gave me the power to overcome. So you got to know that your BFF has power. Somebody touch it, just touch your chest and say, thank God for my BFF. Come on. When people try to attack your purpose and tell you you can't do it, you need to say, that's okay, my BFF is inside of me, and my BFF is encouraging me, and he just told me no weapon formed against me. shall be able to prosper. And when the devil comes in and Satan attacks you, you need to say, that's okay, devil. I'm not worried about you. My BFF is inside of me. And he just said, when the devil comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord in me will raise up a standard against him. I got my BFF inside of me. When it seems like the devil is all powerful, getting it all done, manifested, on your last nerve, attacking your family, everything you see on the outside doesn't look good, your BFF rises up inside of you and says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I want you to see what's going on in this text that I read. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, it's to your advantage that I die, that I'm beaten, that I go to the cross, that I shed my blood, that I'm laid in a cold grave, that I rise again. It's to your advantage that when I rise, I leave. Because when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I've done all that I can do in this body. I put myself in an earthly body, and I gave up my omnipresence. And I've done all that I can do in this body. But I'm about to send you an advocate. I'm about to send you another comforter. And he's not just going to be with you. He's going to get inside of you. He said, if I go, I'm going to send him to you. I need somebody right now that wants him more in your life and more known in your life and more experienced in your life. Why don't you just say thank you right now? Why don't you just thank the Lord? Now watch this. I will send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be your BFF. And you will have access to him anytime. Come on, somebody. You don't have to get a number. Now serving number 2,316,000,000. Come on, somebody. It's not like you call heaven. Heaven, I'd like to speak to the Holy Ghost. You have reached heaven. To speak to God, press 1. To speak to the Holy Ghost, press 3. To speak to Jesus, press 4. For Gabriel, press 5. You press 3. Hello, you've reached the Holy Ghost. We're not in right now, but call. Leave your name and number and we'll get back to you. Or they put you on hold. Have you ever been put on hold? You are caller number 263. Y'all, I want to break my phone when they do that to me. I'm like, how can you have so many people and not have any operators? And then I love everybody. But y'all know I'm from the South and I barely speak English. And then you get on the phone with somebody who can't understand you and you can't understand them. And then they put you on hold and they start praying that elevator music. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. Come on, somebody. They play the 70s song. Some of y'all didn't even know that song. They're playing, I'm leaving on a jet plane. All y'all ain't 12 years old. Celebrate good time. And you're sitting there listening to music and then finally you say, answer the phone. Let me tell you something. You don't have to call the Holy Spirit. You don't have to take a number. You don't have to get in line. That Holy Ghost is inside of you. He is a very, I need somebody right now who believes that he is an anytime advocate. Give him praise in the room. Now, that means I'm never alone. That means every mountain, every issue, every trial, the Holy Spirit sticks by my side. Have you ever had times when you said, I don't know how I'm going to make that decision? But the Holy Spirit guided you. I don't know how I can do that, but the Holy Spirit led you. Have you ever been in a storm? Have you ever been hurt and surprised and shocked? And you didn't know what you were going to do, but the Holy Spirit just kind of welled up inside of you. Even when we're unaware, the Holy Spirit is always there. In the good times, the bad times, the times of victory and failure, the valley times, the mountain times, the sunny times, and the cloudy times. The Bible said in the Message Bible in Ephesians 1:13, in Christ you have heard the truth and believed. Anybody believe in the message of salvation? He said, you found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit, the signet from which God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Okay, I want to get real intentional now. So, the King James Version says, look at me, that the Holy Spirit is the earnest. The earnest is the down payment. When you're going to buy a house or a car or something like that, you have to provide a down payment. And that down payment signifies that's going to be mine. There's more to come. So the Holy Spirit gets inside of you, and he is the down payment that God has made to let you know that everything he promised will come to pass. I need somebody right now who's trusting in God. Just open up your mouth and give God praise that you've got the earnest already inside of you. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts, y'all, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Oh, I want to tell you, maybe you don't see it yet, but you've got the deposit. Maybe you don't have it yet, but I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is a deposit that says it's going to come to pass. My BFF provides an anytime anointing. I'm prepared for service. Nothing I face can overcome me. I'm prepared for it. If I'm led by the Spirit, my BFF provides security. He protects me. He guides me. He directs me. Hallelujah. And here's what I'm glad of. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Can I be super transparent and tell you a time that the Holy Spirit was the most real to me? We had moved in this building, and there were so many things that had happened, and I'm not going to go into it all, but in a moment, it was when the economy was crashing, and we were resisting a strip club that was trying to come in. The mayor had asked me to represent the whole city, and these people came, and they held up signs. They said, Jim Raley is robbing you. He's stealing from you. You brought him three houses. Man, I wish I knew where they were. I would sell two of them. Come on, somebody. If you actually find out where they are, will you let me know? But they went on the news every night, and I'm already fighting for this ministry like I have never fought before in my life. And they started going on the news. Some of y'all remember it for weeks. And they said, we're not going. We don't want to hurt that church, but we're going to destroy Jim Raley. And I want to tell you that one night Dawn and I was sitting at our house, and I was trying to lead our staff, trying to lead our church, trying to find a way, trying to survive the economy, trying to navigate this new building, and trying to navigate all the other things that were going on. And I remember I had just before I'd sat down by Dawn, I was standing looking in my backyard, and I said, "Lord, have you brought me this far to leave me now? Have you let me see all this to leave me now?" Have you ever been there? I can't talk to people who aren't real. Have you ever had times where you thought, "Lord, where are you now? Where are you now?" I've been right there. And I remember I sat with Dawn, and we were just sitting beside each other. The TV wasn't on or nothing. And I dropped my head, and I said, "I don't think I can do this anymore." "You apostle?" "Yeah." That's the one and only time, don't ever heard that come out of my mouth. I said, "I don't think I can do it anymore." And I wept. And I felt like I wasn't going to make it. But in a moment, my BFF, y'all, my BFF rose up inside of me and said, "Man, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to take care of you. That's my church. That's my building. Those are my people. You're my son." My BFF just started talking to me. I didn't know it at the time, y'all. I was in a desert and there was a devil in it. I didn't know it. I didn't even comprehend it. But in that desert, my personal trainer was working me out. Let me tell you something. Up until that time, everything I touched seemed like turned to gold. Everything we did grew. And I don't know if I had the capacity to have pride. We don't know that. You know, did Saul know he was Saul? I don't know. Because he was convinced that he was sold out to God, and he was convinced of his own way. Maybe there would have been pride in me. If I would have said, "Man, look now, we've got this great building, honey. We didn't go through, we look what I did." Let me tell you, by the time I was going through that, I said, "Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you, Holy Spirit." I didn't understand, but that entire time, I was working out. God was preparing me for now. Now, look what the Lord has done. Now, we're about to add campus number 10. Now, we're coming out of debt. Now, we're in 22 services in a week. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm trying to tell you, God will take you in a desert you don't want to go into to bring you in a place you never dreamed that you could be. Somebody right now, you're going through trouble, but the trouble is not to kill you. The trouble is to develop you. Now, here it is. Everybody stand, and I'm going to try to close. Don't leave, because if you leave, we actually have somebody with water balloons, and they'll throw them at you. I want this to be a holy, sacred moment. Now, if you believe the Holy Spirit is in you, before I even close this service, 1, 2, 3, give the Lord a praise right now. Okay, if you believe he's your personal trainer, open up your mouth and give him praise right now. All right? If you believe he's your miracle seed, and because he lives with you and in you, then miracles are possible in your life. Just open up your mouth and give him praise right now. So, this week is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Leaven in the Bible represents sin, represents compromise. Galatians says to get the leaven out, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And some of you need to get the leaven out. You need to get the compromise out. You need to get the sin out. Because that's the thing that stops the Holy Spirit from doing all he intends to do in your life. And today, like I said, it's first fruits, but we're getting to the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And unleavened bread is about getting all the sin, the leaven, out of your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, God's about to touch somebody's life. First of all, if you've been in a fight, I want you to slip up your hands. If you've been in the desert, I want you to slip up your hands. I see them. Just hold your hands up right there. Let apostles see you. Let the Holy Spirit see you. So here's what I declare. I declare this desert is not your destruction. I declare that this desert is your development. I declare that your personal trainer is working for you. I declare that this is a desert of destiny. And I declare when you come out of this desert, you're going to be just like Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus returned to Nazareth mighty in the Spirit. I declare that this desert and this season, come on, hold your hands up. It's not destroying you. It's not defeating you. It's preparing you and developing you. I bind the spirit of I quit off of you. I bind the spirit of God, you can't do it. I bind that negative thinking off of you. And I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit would rise up inside of you. Hallelujah. Can you feel him? Come on, say that. Say, Holy Spirit, rise in me. Hallelujah. Just rise up in me. Hallelujah. Just rise up in me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This week, who needs a miracle in your life, in your family? Wave at me. I need one. If you need a miracle, I want you to raise your hands right now. I need a miracle. I don't talk a lot about it, but I need a miracle in my physical body. I've been wrestling with something. I need God to heal me. Who needs a miracle right now? Raise your hands. So here's what I declare. I declare that the miracle seed is inside of you. And I declare that you're going to see the healing of the Lord in your family, in your body, in your life, in your mind, even in your heart. I bless you for healing in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the room and this is the most important moment of this service, if you're in this place and you would say, Apostle, there's things in my life, there's sin in my life. I'm not where I need to be with the Lord. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he convicts us of sin. He deals with our hearts about sin. And you would say, Apostle, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. So when you pray for somebody, pray for me. There's leaven, there's sin in my life. And when you pray, pray for me. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord, when I count to three, if you want a new beginning today, you want to get the sin out, and you want the Holy Spirit to reign in your life, when I count to three, raise your hand. Pray for me, Apostle. I'm not where I need to be. One, hands are already being lifted. Pray for me, Apostle. I need to repent today. I need to give my whole life to Jesus today. Two, wow, hands are being raised across the room. Pray for me, Apostle. Today I want to surrender. I haven't surrendered before, or I've surrendered and I've gone back, but today I want to leave right with God. Three, slip up your hand. I'm not where I need to be, Apostle. I see every section. Every section. Come on. If you want a new beginning, hold your hand up right now. If you want to get this sin under the blood, you want to become a child of the living God in a fresh way, here's five more seconds. You by live stream, this is your moment. Four, if you need to raise your hand, raise it now. Three, two, I see hands are still being raised. I see you, young folk. One, I see you, mom and dad. Zero. Now, if you raise your hand, keep it up if you're ready for a new beginning. Now, if somebody next to you has their hand raised, I want you to move back and make a way for them to come to the altars. If they're afraid to come or apprehensive, just reach and get them and bring them yourself, because this is a new beginning, and I want you to step into it. This is a public declaration. Come on. This is you saying, God, I got to have help. Look at the Lord now. Look at the Lord. Hallelujah. Just throw the net and watch people come to Jesus. Oh, here they come. Come on and worship with me, Pastor John. I bet if you lift your hands and worship, people will come from across the room. Hallelujah, nothing more important than this. Nothing more important than this. Oh, y'all, they're still coming. I wish you would clap and just welcome people to the family of God. Welcome people into the family of God. This is what it's about. Every song led to this moment. Everything we did led to this moment. I see you over there in church, you and your sweet family. And yesterday we laid the sweetest girl to rest. So before I pray with these, I'm going to pray for you and your family and your girls. I declare the peace of the Lord over you, Tom. Hallelujah. Jay, just reach out there and touch Tom. Tom, you've been so faithful. You're a rock in this church and a friend of my life. And Tom, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit in you is going to rise up, give you strength, and give your girls strength. My precious friend and brother, I love you, Tom. And I declare the Spirit of the Lord. He's an anytime advocate, and he's with you right now. So I bless you, my brother. In Jesus' name. Everybody take your hand and place it on your heart and raise up your other hand. Come on. This is important for you to know that the Lord is not just Lord in the good times. He's Lord in the hard times too. And you're going to receive him, and you're going to leave everything that's not like Jesus at this altar right now. You're going to give it all to the Lord. So everybody in the room, pray this after me. Pray, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I come to you now.
I come to you now.
And I'm asking you.
I'm asking you.
Please forgive me.
Please
forgive me. For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Take my heart.
Take my heart.
Wash it clean.
Wash it clean.
Take out all the leaven.
Take out all the leaven.
Anything that's not like you.
Anything that's not like you.
Take it out of my life.
Holy Spirit.
I want you to rise up in me.
I want you to
live in me. But I want you to also live through me. Jesus, I receive you now
as my Savior.
And I declare I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Now I want all the altar workers to reach out and lay hands on these. You guys come in a little bit. If you accepted the Lord, I want you to acknowledge that online. Everybody else, raise your hands. I want to bless you. I declare this week that the Holy Spirit is with you. I declare he's with you because he's in you. I declare that he manifests as your BFF. I declare that even if you're in a hard time, that in the name of Jesus, that you're being trained, hallelujah, and you're going to come through with victory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.